salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free, Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
Have any idea how much I hate this?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 6, Buonasera, Mr. Campbell, Part 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. We were asked about this on our Discord, which is a Patreon perk. More on that in a second. Whether we were going to cover part one and part two as one big blob. Normally, that is what we would do if they aired that way. But they didn't because of the season six, season early seven fuckery that we've already discussed. These two episodes aired on consecutive weeks, so we are also covering them that way discreetly. Speaking of the Patreon, let's tell you what's happening this week. Again with this, episode 154, dropping August 4th, is going to be Let's Watch Jenny Garth Judge Project Runway. Yes, the episode that was just on the week before last. That's what we're going to be talking about. It is season 20, episode 6, Like Totally 90s. It is on Peacock. We will link it in the show notes if you have not already watched. And you can get that plus all of our back episodes, and Again With Them is also dropping this week. That is our monthly recap digest of 90210 OMG. Maybe we hoped they were going to take a hiatus because of the restrictions on what they could do during the SAG strike. So far, they haven't, so that's going to be out.
Scabadoodle-doo.
Nope. So that'll be out on August 3rd for our Patreon supporters at the $5 level and up. And you can get all of that information and more, again, with this podcast.com/club. Let's get into this, starting with our C plot. Coop gets sick of Lexi's shit. For real, though.
Mm-hmm.
In our first scene with these two, they're walking through the marina by night. Lexi stops to congratulate Coop on their first week of marriage. And to mark it, she bought him a sailboat. This man, as far as we know, is from Ohio. Certainly, that's where he spent the majority of his adult life, as far as we have been told.
Mm-hmm.
What reason do we have to think he enjoys sailing or has ever sailed even one time? None, I'm going to say.
None. No. Mm.
He is, of course, appalled. She wanted to thank him for the other night, ew and yikes, and claims she knew he always wanted a sailboat. She wants to show him around. For some reason, he gets on it, and below deck, he reminds her he ordered her not to touch their joint bank account because the other $5 million is for him and Megan, which, why would you ever think she would listen when you said that?
Yeah. Have you met Lexi? Come on.
And so when she starts taunting him about always having a woman on the side, he punches the door that she's leaning on right next to her head. She barely flinches. He tells her to sell the boat. She dares him to hit her if she doesn't, and then strips to the waist and starts running the same routine from the other night. He doesn't know whether to love or hate her, etc. Once again, it totally works for a second only this time. Then he pulls himself away and wipes his mouth again and leaves. This is his, like, move, I guess, now. It's like, mm-hmm. He's wiping off these very dry kisses all the time. So the next night, a lingerie-clad Lexi at the condo sneers at the untouched salad and is dumping it out when he comes home late and unapologetic. She forbids Coop from seeing that trailer trash again. Coop calmly says she can't do that. But oops, now Lexi has dirt on him since he fucked her, and she thinks she'll just go ahead and call Megan right now. And you can see this in the visual aids. Coop basically flails all of his limbs, launching himself at her to stop her making this phone call. throws the phone across the room. Next time it's her head. Again, this really has escalated quickly with the violent threats and actual violence also. But he should have known when he made love to her that secrets have a way of rising to the surface. He sneers that love had nothing to do with it. She laughs that with him it never does. And though he tries to tell himself he's not horny, his tractor beam on her ass as she sashays off to the bedroom tells a different tale. That is also in the visual aids.
As it were.
Yes. The next day, Coop is quietly knocking on the door of his old apartment when Megan rolls up from a bakery, I guess, judging by the pink box for no reason. He says they're getting out of town tonight. The money is not worth it. So she asks what Lexi did to him. He doesn't want to talk about it. She thought they agreed not to keep secrets, but he says the rules changed, and she gives him a look like, oh, did they? But does not actually challenge him. And when he asks if she can be ready to blow town at 10, she can, if it means that much to him. So he kisses her and leaves. She tries to shake off the weirdness, but heads straight from this conversation to the condo to ask Lexi why Coop wants to blow up his life to get away from her. She starts by saying their marriage is not up for discussion, but that doesn't work. So then she says they really are like newlyweds, silly fights, incredible sex. Megan states that Lexi's lying, but Lexi keeps pressing the point. Megan calls her twisted. Lexi agrees she must just get turned on by the challenge of seducing a man who doesn't love her, and so does he. Gross!
Ugh.
Over to the courtyard, where I guess it's 10 p.m., because Coop is knocking on Megan's door and finds her drinking in the dark, not ready to go on the lam. She tells him about her visit with Lexi. He sighs that he can explain, but she doesn't want him anywhere near her. He's not impressed by his excuses. They have to leave before she destroys them, he says. And Megan sobs that she's not going anywhere with him. Ugh. And then the next morning, fucking Coop and Lexi are at the condo hating each other. He claims to have pulled an all-nighter at the hospital. Lexi guesses Megan dumped him or they'd have fled together by now. He says he thought better of it, pecking her on the back of the head and continuing to act totally out of character as he credits Lexi for playing the game better. And she, for some reason, falls for this, I guess, because she's so horny for him, which, like, him. But
yeah,
he wants to start over for real this time, he claims, and see if her father was right about them, and asks her for drinks tonight. And then in the bedroom, he tells Megan's answering machine he has no excuses and doesn't expect her to understand, but he's going to get Lexi out of their lives. And I would assume he wouldn't put a murder threat on tape, but, like, does anything matter anymore? It's at the hospital later.
Exactly.
Then Megan's trying to track down Coop after he is ghosting her, but the desk nurse says he checked out hours ago, and Michael appears to confirm it, complaining that Coop left him in the lurch with a surgery. And for some reason, Coop told Michael he was going to the marina to hang out with Lexi on their new boat. Why he's chatting with Michael about this, dunno, happened off screen, and that's where we leave it with these fucking idiots for now. Moving on to our B plot. Michael interferes with Sam and Billy for sport, also ponders his parenting future. After Michael leaves for work in the morning, Taylor makes it clear to Jane she really wants to give Michael and Jane custody of the baby. Taylor knows that she is selfish, self-centered, and vindictive, none of which are good qualities in a mother. Jane thinks motherhood can change a person, besides which Jane and Michael got back together 2 minutes ago. But Taylor thinks the reason Michael's failed every relationship since their divorce is Jane is his one true love. And without necessarily granting that, Jane agrees to talk to Michael, but that's it! Then, after another shot of our dear friend Spats outside of the agency...
Aww.
Sam's at the office when Jeff appears. She immediately starts gloating about how well their plan worked without noticing that he is carrying a huge box of her shit. And one would think he's obviously about to dump her, because he should. Mm-hmm. But he is actually just clearing out his weird house because he got the radio job in Tampa. Sam offers to celebrate by making them dinner, but he's got plans. Clip two.
Okay, well, how about tomorrow night? I'm not going to let you say no.
Okay, tomorrow night. But at Kyle's.
Okay. Lighten up.
Read the room.
Her non-response to the fact that he's moving across the country. Did they just give up on directing her? Because it's...
Right.
Like, this is not appropriate. Even if you're trying to turn her into a bitch, this is not appropriate. Have some response to things.
Mm-hmm.
You're an actor.
Yes. Leaving that aside, like, I don't want you to make me dinner. We're only going to a public place. Lighten up. Yeah, that's what's going to fix this.
Uh-huh.
Is lightening up. Wow.
Yeah.
The next day, Jane's waiting outside Taylor's checkup at the hospital, and Michael rolls by, confirms Taylor's fine, tries to leave again. So then Jane tells him about Taylor's offer. Clip 3.
Michael, someone has to step up and take responsibility for this child.
Well, don't look at me, okay? I'm not into this single parent thing. I'm not into this single anything.
You're a man senior, aren't you? I thought they took care of their family.
Yes, but the family means like mom and dad. Wait a second. Oh, are you saying that you're ready for the whole shot? I mean, you and me being a couple again?
I don't know how things will turn out with us, but whatever happens, take joint custody, I will always be there for you and your son.
You will?
I promise.
You're not sure things are going to work out with the two of you, but you want to add a baby? What?
Oh, my God. Also, I will remind everyone of their parenting class from the first season and how Dr. Mancini was dangling a baby doll by the foot upside down.
Oh, doctor.
Thank you.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
This is so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That night, Jeff and a completely oblivious Sam dine in silence at Kyle's. Clip 4.
Kind of quiet. Saving it all for the radio show?
That's saving it all for the radio show. The first probably 4 times I played it back, I thought it was saving your mouth for the radio show, which like kind of works and it kind of also sounds filthy.
But yeah. La die die die. I mean, why is he even at dinner with her? He looks so disgusted with her. Like
he fucking hates her guts. It's like,
yeah, as he should.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But no, Jeff is not saving his mouth for the radio show. Clip 5.
Nope. I guess I don't have anything to say to you.
I'm not with Billy anymore. I'm with you. You won.
Sure doesn't feel like winning.
Okay.
To us either.
Yeah.
Dump her. Go to Tampa. Have a nice life.
Oh, yeah. Also, to your point, like, how does he have you now if he is getting ready to move to the opposite side of the country?
Yeah.
But, yeah, she sounds so irritated on I'm with you now. And then that's A. B, immediately proves how not winning he has been when Jennifer, Billy, Michael, and Jane all arrive together and Sam tracks them like a fucking psycho.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to the party of four. Michael brings up Billy's mission to rescue Allison. Jane tries to back him off, but Billy flatly says he has no motive to help Allison but loyalty. Again, she did not ask for help, even in Sam's framing.
Yep.
Billy says Michael probably can't understand that, so Jennifer breaks in to say she definitely doesn't, and things quickly devolve. Clip 6.
Jane, you kept in touch with Allison. Why don't you tell these guys what a rough year she's had? You know, breaking up with Jake and moving out of L.A., trying to start all over in Atlanta.
Billy's right. She's had a hard time. I mean, I thought she was fine until now. I guess she slipped.
She's reaching out for me, and I'm not going to let her down.
But you can let my sister down?
Yeah, she's reaching out all right. I write her facts. Billy, you're the one man I could never get over. I think she meant under.
What is the big deal? I'm only going to be in Atlanta for 24 hours.
The big deal is what about our plans? My family is expecting to meet you, my father. What am I supposed to tell him, that you made a pit stop to see one of your old flames?
This is your way of asking me not to go to Atlanta?
Yes.
Michael, but out.
Yes. I'm asking you not to go. Forget about Allison and concentrate on me.
Sorry, I can't do that.
Do I know a bum when I see one or not?
Well, I mean, takes one to know one. But just to back up on the logistics, he says he's only going to be there for 24 hours. Like, he's just going to go to the town of Atlanta, find the rehab center. Like, he has not tried to get in touch with her in any way. Like, he's already said she can't take calls, but, like, the place can. Like, he could, we don't even know that he knows where she supposedly is.
This is my issue. Is he going to just drive around Atlanta, occasionally roll down his window when he passes what looks like a rehab and be like, Allison?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, based on other people's behavior in this episode, maybe the writers think he is actually going to do that. But also, just getting out of the airport and finding your way anywhere, even if you know where the place is in Atlanta, where everything is called Peachtree Street or Boulevard. I just don't. And then he's going to go to New Jersey, and then they're going to go to Italy?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares? Moving on.
So Jennifer runs off. Jane follows her. Watching from her table, Sam gloats to Jeff as Billy gets up to go to the bar, and Jeff looks over his shoulder. At the end of this, Sam continues fucking up. Clip 7.
So much for the perfect couple.
Hey! Wait. Wait, where are you going?
As far away from you as I can get.
Oh, you're kidding me, right?
No, it took me a while, but I finally figured it out. You never loved me. You used me.
You're not being fair.
You know what's not fair? Is you blaming everybody for your problems. Billy, Jennifer, your psycho father. The truth is you're the one who messed up your life, and I won't be your personal cleanup crew.
Well, when you put it like that, who asked you?
You know what? I used to think that you were the most incredible girl in the world, and I was the luckiest guy. Now all I see is the anger in you.
Okay. I appreciate that he's ready to walk out and stick her with the check, because he should. Mm-hmm. But for sure she is an asshole, which is why now I have to also be annoyed to have to slightly be on her side with his, all he sees is her anger, because this is Billy deciding Allison was too much work because of her trauma as a sexual abuse survivor all over again, and this sucks. This framing is bad.
Yeah. Also, she cheated on her husband of 10 minutes with you.
Yeah.
What did you think the aftermath of, quote, winning in that situation was going to look like? Because if it wasn't this, it would be some other bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Sam sucks, but get real. Anyway.
Right. Seriously. So the next day, Sam goes to the Jizz Club before it opens to apologize for being such a bitch to Jennifer and Billy. Jennifer is justly suspicious, and Sam quickly confesses to the facts, scheme, and truthfully answers all of Jennifer's questions about it, and mine when she finally says her endgame was just to break up Jennifer and Billy and the job had nothing to do with it. Clip 8.
We've been fighting this whole time over nothing.
Yeah. And now you and Billy are miserable, and Jeff thinks I'm evil. I don't even want to be around myself, but the good news is I can tell Billy that it was my fault, and you guys will be cool again.
No. I don't want you to. You're not going to tell Billy.
Why not?
It was a vicious thing to do, Sam, and I think you're a horrible person, don't get me wrong. But maybe you did me a favor. I don't want to spend my whole life knowing that Billy is a phone call away from running out the door.
I think it's true love with you guys. I don't want to be the reason that you split up.
It's too late, Sam. You started this. But I'm going to finish it.
Please remember Jennifer saying that stuff about, she doesn't want to be with Billy if he doesn't want to be with her, because it does not last past this scene at all.
No, it doesn't. No.
Then it's the next day. Movers are taking boxes out when Michael comes in. Clip 9.
Hey, look, you want to keep living in a dream world, be my guest. But I'm going to call Mom and tell her forget about making this party for you, because there's no way Billy is showing up in Jersey.
Go away, Michael.
He's a male slut, Jen.
I would not have a problem with that. I wouldn't have a problem with that term, honestly, if it was applied across the board, because, Billy isn't a male slut, but it's still funny to call it that.
Yeah, it is. It makes him so much more interesting than he actually is.
God, for real. So Jennifer knows Billy has not been carrying on with Allison because the fax is fake, but then swears Michael to secrecy about it. When she goes out to deal with the movers, Michael follows and runs into Billy coming into the courtyard. Clip 10.
Hey, Billy.
Just leaving, I hope.
Oh, I'd be moody too if I had all the stuff going on that you do.
Thanks for your concern, Mike.
Of course, if it turns out that people were playing head games with me, well, then watch out.
What head games? Why am I listening to you? You're an idiot.
You know what? I'm going to let that slide. I'll even throw in an apology. You see, I thought you were two-timing my sister. But as it turns out, Sam sent the fax, not Allison. So it was like her last shot at breaking you two up. But the thing is, Jennifer knows all about it. You know, only a Mancini could keep something like that to themselves. Oh, but you're going to marry Jennifer. Well, my condolences.
Okay. He kept that secret for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Classic Michael. So good.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's on Jennifer. She has to have known that he was going to leak it, so.
Yeah. I mean, she was probably just counting on, like, why would Michael even run into Billy? He's supposed to be at work right now and whatever. Yeah. But
or why would Michael care? So.
Right. So when Jennifer comes back into the apartment, Billy is on the phone canceling his trip to Atlanta, and she is overjoyed and thanks him, but he wrong faces away from her. And clip 11.
What's wrong? Where do you want me to start? Okay, Allison's not in rehab. She didn't send a fax.
Look, I just found out what was going on yesterday, Billy, and I know I should have told you right away, but I...
But you didn't. You made me think there was something wrong with Allison. You knew none of it was true, and you didn't tell me.
Billy, I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
Are you trying to test me? What do you think, we're in junior high school here? This is our lives you're playing with.
I know that, but if you just listen to me...
I don't want
to
hear it, all right? I've heard enough lies for a lifetime. It's over.
You don't mean that.
Yes, I do. Sam lied to me about almost everything. You lied to me about Sam and Jeff. You lied to me again. And I'm through being manipulated. I'm through, period. The engagement's off.
In a storied career of shitty line deliveries, this is a smorgasbord of the worst. Like, yeah. Everyone is wrong. And then the order and the leveling of the emotion is wrong. He just does not know how to do this and does not care. Mm-mm. One foot on the plane. It's fine. But oh my God, he's so bad. So bad.
He really is just absolutely awful. So at the beach house, remember these guys? A soaking wet Michael brings back the sandwich that Taylor has been craving. Jane and Michael are just getting started moaning in the bedroom when they hear Taylor in the next room moaning loudly. Her tummy hurts, but she thinks it's the peppers on her sandwich. And by the way, you can see this in the visual aids. She is in full, like, athletic sneakers with her nightgown. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure we weren't supposed to see her feet, but mm-hmm. I applaud whoever insisted that the actually pregnant Lisa Rinna wear grippy footwear on that floor, because I'm sure it is quite slippery.
Mm-hmm.
But then she doesn't think it's the peppers that are bothering her stomach. And that's where we leave things for now.
I would just like to note about this plot line that the writing of Taylor as this, like, recently arrived on Earth, like, Starman level simpleton is really disturbing. And she's like, my tummy here. It's like, yeah. you are about to give birth to another human.
Mm-hmm.
You apparently seem pretty determined not to keep custody of said tiny human, but like, my tummy hurts. Like, have you been tested for a brain injury? This is not appropriate for a soap opera.
It's not great.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Finally, we have our A plot. Kidnap, 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 kidnap. I almost said that properly. Yeah, that's close enough. After obliviously seeing Amanda off at the jazz club, Kyle comes home to an empty apartment and immediately then runs downstairs to yell at Peter and search his place. And Peter's like, I didn't stash her in the bedroom. Who don't you trust, me or her? Which, fair point. So Kyle asks, did Peter see her after she left the club? Clip 12.
No.
So many good notes in the story.
I know.
Kyle's look of rising worry, Peter says he will call the hospital to see if Amanda's in the ER, but Kyle should call her cell. Cut to Amanda in the kidnapper's car as her phone rings. She tries to reach for it, but Jack, formerly known as Big, snatches it away with a look of hilarious exasperation, which is even funnier because she is blindfolded and cannot even see it. He then tosses the phone out the window. So back at Peter's place, Kyle's even more concerned since Amanda always has her phone. But as he heads out, Peter says they should work together to find her. But the last person Kyle wants helping him find Amanda is her lovesick ex. And then the kidnappers arrive at a dilapidated cabin, not the one with stones all over the exterior walls that we have seen 50 dozen times. They drag Amanda inside. She gets concerned when they remove her blindfold. But clip 13.
You can memorize my face for all I care. Just drop the bitch act.
Hey, man, not an act.
Yeah.
You wish, by the way.
You dropped the bitch act.
Seriously. Anyway, clip 14.
Ground rules.
If you behave yourself and you don't get on this guy's nerves, the worst that'll happen is you'll be in the hole for a cell phone. Otherwise, you got trouble.
No, you've got trouble. Kidnapping is a federal offense.
Nobody gets hurt unless you blow it, so keep your trap shut and don't get creative.
Don't get creative is probably written on a slip of paper and pinned to the writer's room wall at this point, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Oof. So after the credits, Kyle's driving around LA in his Pontiac Sunfire. Really? He spots Amanda's car with its ass smashed in where she got snatched. It has not been stolen with the window open, the key still in it.
What? I mean, this is like the luckiest. I assume that his, quote, plan was not, as it first appears at the beginning of the scene, to just drive around Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for her car, which is like a gazillion other cars on the road.
Yeah.
And that he was following routes that he thought she would take.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this is like the first note I took on this episode was like, oh, so we're just going to like do a grid search.
Right.
You really are an idiot. Amanda's toast.
Well, then he calls 911. Later at the jazz club office, Kyle is staring out the window, worrying when Thomas, formerly known as Small, calls with the ransom demand of $1 million, which, like, sorry, guys, we heard in the last episode, Amanda and Kyle don't even have a down payment for a house right now, supposedly, so good luck. But Kyle then demands proof of life. Thomas puts the phones up to Amanda's face. She confirms that she's not hurt, but when she starts to say where she is, Thomas yanks the phone away again and hangs up on Kyle as he asks how he's supposed to get the money. And instead of calling the cops again, Kyle stews. And the next day, Amanda has her wrists duct taped together as she wiggles a pin out of a door hinge and then stops when she hears someone coming. It is Thomas delivering a jelly sandwich. And before he can leave again, she guesses that he's working for Taylor or the Parisis or someone who worked with Rory. Remember Rory? Because almost forgot.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Without confirming any of these, Thomas just says, she sure has a lot of enemies. Yeah, it was not a bitch act. We already said.
Mm-hmm.
Then in his office at the practice, Peter calls Mr. Beck and orders him to call it all off. And Beck, once again in noir lighting next to Venetian blinds, tells Peter this thing will play itself out the way it was planned and Peter will end up with Amanda. So he should stop second guessing himself and lose Beck's number. And now that he's back in the country, I don't get why Beck is not stopping it at Peter's request. Like, what is his angle on keeping this going? Honestly, I don't understand.
Yeah. It's not like spike strips. You can actually back it up and it's fine.
You can. Yeah. So enter Kyle, ready to make nice now with Peter for obvious reasons. He tells Peter that Amanda's been kidnapped and that the guys told him no cops, duh. So he called them off. Peter says he did the right thing. Kyle tells him about the ransom demand, and did Peter mean it when he said he would do anything to help get Amanda back? Because Kyle still needs $300,000. And looking real shifty, as you can see in the visual aids, Peter tells Kyle to give him a few hours. Kyle promises it's just a loan, and Peter testily says they can worry about that later. When Kyle holds his hand out to shake, Peter takes it, saying he knows it's hard for Kyle to come to him. They're talking about Amanda's life. And the next day after this, Thomas, still in his suit jacket for no reason, delivers Amanda two fried eggs, still in the cast iron pan because he's bad at his job.
Yeah, rookie mistake.
Because, of course, as soon as he turns his back, she knocks him out with it. And returns to the bedroom, removes all the hinge pins from the window, climbs out, and fucking hauls ass. There is this gif of this in the visual aids, too, because it's so funny. Jack is on the porch, like, whittling, also still in his suit jacket. And so he looks up and is like, oh, shit, there she goes. Oh. She hides in a bush. He runs straight past her. But then as soon as she pokes her head back up, Thomas is on top of her. Wah, wah. At the jazz club that night, Peter comes to Kyle's office in his tough guy leather jacket because he couldn't stand staring at his four walls anymore, but the kidnappers have not called again. Kyle will pour Peter a $300,000 scotch, so I guess Peter came up with it off screen. Peter assures Kyle that Amanda will be fine, and then Thomas calls with handoff instructions starting with, Kyle can't do it. Whoever does leave the money in a barbecue at a designated park location better come alone. And so Thomas hangs up before Kyle can protest, so Peter, duh, volunteers to do the drop. And Kyle is ashamed enough that he had to ask Peter for the money, but they can have a pissing contest about it later, Peter says, because, you know, he's got to do this. And the next day, the kidnappers are tying Amanda up in advance of going to the drop location. She sprays them with a little moderate verbal abuse as they head out and is basically unmoved by Jack's physical threat before Thomas calls him off. And as soon as they're gone, she immediately starts wriggling the chair around, knocks a beer bottle off the table, and throws herself down next to it. And then we're at the drop site. Peter gets out of his car in the rain and opens a barbecue where he finds a hand-drawn map and instructions and leaves the bag of cash. Which, if this was all a setup, I don't know why there has to be any cash at all. Anyway, Peter then calls Kyle from his car with the update. Kyle wants to meet Peter there, but Peter says he'll never make it. Kyle insists, so Peter relents. Back to the cabin. Amanda cuts her hand up pretty bad, using the largest piece of glass to wear through her ropes, but it works. She grabs a raincoat and runs, and this time Jack watches her go and doesn't intervene. And then we're seeing Peter get out of his fucking Beamer in search of Amanda. He finds the cabin empty and the rope on the floor and immediately calls back to ask where Amanda is because there's blood everywhere. Beck does not care for Peter's accusatory tone because he hired professionals, and if Amanda screwed things up by trying to survive, it's her tough luck.
Mm-hmm.
So then Kyle calls to ask if she's okay, and Peter breathlessly says she's gone, even though they did everything they asked, and Kyle is almost there, and Peter is upset, and that's where we leave things off at the end of part one. Dun, dun, dun! Will Amanda be killed in this not quite the season finale, but it was supposed to be, but it isn't, but it kind of is? Stand by for more next week. Let's close things up by naming our episode MVP. Jeff?
I guess.
Finally telling Sam some shit that she needs to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, as you said, it is sort of gross, but it's also Sam. Like, yeah. Just go to Florida, please.
Yes.
Save yourself.
Yes. Florida seems like the right place for Jeff. No offense to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Least valuable player.
Andershoe.
That's fair.
Now and forever.
Boy, really. I'm going to say Mr. Beck, who is bad at doing favors. Truly, like, it's really making this more complicated than it needs to be.
Hmm. Next time on Again With This, Coop tries to kill Lexi, Peter tries to replace Kyle, Sam tries to redeem herself, and Andrew Shue does not try at all. You can try to revisit your breakfast by checking out our visual aids. You'll find them for this and every other episode of Again With This at againwiththispodcast.com. Join us on Patreon for many, many bonus episodes. And if you join at the $5 level and up, you can listen to us talk about 90210 OMG instead of listening to it yourselves, which you should not ever do. Do this instead, again with this podcast.com/club. I'm once and future wife, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is bitch act Tara Ariano, and she is also on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And what's wrong? Where does our producer David T. Cole start? Talk to you next time.
No!
Yes!
Oh, gorgeous.
Made it to the soundboard.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at coda.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.